think I could tackle anything if that's what... Amen, amen. Thank y'all very much. Good morning. In January, do you remember these little strips of paper Pastor Sally passed out? Where's yours? Still got yours? Mine's been sitting on my desk, and I keep looking at it. And sometimes I just laugh because of what it keeps saying to me. And I always read it when I'm like, I don't have time to do that. This is what mine says. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I laugh because a couple weeks ago I preached a sermon on going. And now I have to be still and know. So I invite you to hear anew these words from Psalm 46. I like the musical version of it better. Hear these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the earth, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the mornings dawn. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me again? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I need a nap. Y'all have been hearing about the topic of this sermon coming up. Afternoon nap. Who's got one on the books ready to happen? I know a lot of us were here all week from the moment we left work to come back up here for Bible school. On top of that, we've had 2 weeks of illness in our house, and I've been doing a bit of napping. I call it practice for this sermon to make up for the lack of sleep during the nights that I haven't been getting. About a year ago, I realized how much I needed to stop and be still. I had this nagging feeling in my life that it was just off. I needed to reset my spiritual disciplines as well as make some priorities for myself. Life was full and life was wonderful. I needed to stop doing, stop going, and start being. A friend of mine helps to coordinate and lead a silence retreat in January. And for some crazy reason, that sounded perfect to me. Time for guided prayer and worship and to just be. It was almost terrifying for me to make this commitment because me, silent for 4 days. And yet it really felt wonderful. So I signed up and I went away to a beautiful center in Stoneville for 72 hours of no talking, no electronics. There was no Wi-Fi and hopefully no distractions because apparently you could check those at the door when you go to those places. It was hard. It was utterly hard, but oh so needed. It seemed everywhere I turned, I was being reminded in scriptures about how God spoke to Elijah in that still, small voice. Jesus was always getting away up onto the mountaintop from the crowds to pray. God told Mary and Martha one of them was doing the right thing. And even in the boys' bathroom at home, there's a scripture reminding me of hearing God's voice. So I went. I packed my knitting projects that I needed to finish, some note cards I'd been meaning to write, a book I'd wanted to read, and I took this slip of paper because it was yet another reminder of what God was calling me to do, to be still. So I had my own room. My meals were taken care of. We were given a schedule with nothing but prayer and meals. That's all that was on this. There was time for corporate prayer. There was time to meet with folks if we wanted to pray with somebody else. And there was worship, and we were set out to follow these ancient traditions because this prayer stuff is not new. These rhythms of life are not new. I was so ready to be silent and to get some things done. I figured if the email couldn't get to me, the phone wouldn't ring, I could get some things done. And I slept. In the first 36 hours, I slept 24 hours. Not consistently. I went to bed early that first night because it had been a Sunday and I had been driving. I missed my afternoon nap and I was tired of traveling. I awoke for breakfast and morning prayer, and then I went back to my room to plan out my day. I put my knitting projects around and picked out which one I wanted to work on. I got my notes out, read my Bible. I fell asleep at the desk. So then I moved to the sofa. I fell asleep on the sofa. I opened the blinds. I had this whole wall of windows. It was raining outside, and I fell asleep again. So finally, I gave up, put my pajamas back on, and got back in bed. I missed lunch. I missed afternoon prayer. I got hungry, so I made myself get up for dinner. But why did I sleep so much? I realized in the last 6 months leading up to then, I hadn't had a spare moment to myself. Life had been chaos since October. My grandmother passed away in November, 2 road trips in South Florida in 10 days, leaving one ministry, beginning another. Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas, New Year, school, sports, scouts. Life was full. Life was wonderful. But gosh, was I tired. And when given the chance to finally be still, my body needed to do what my body needed to do. And it slept. According to the National Institutes of Health, yes, there are sleep studies, and I would love to be paid to do a sleep study. The average adult sleeps less than 7 hours a night. I typically get between 6 and 7, and I feel like I'm doing pretty good. Except in reality, it's a recipe for chronic sleep deprivation. 7 hours is not enough. Most healthy adults need 7 to 9 hours a night. Children and teens need even more. And I look at my child who likes to wake up at 5 a.m. As a nation, the U.S. appears to be more and more sleep deprived. It may be our busy lifestyle that keeps us from a simple afternoon nap. While naps don't make up for the lack of nighttime sleep, it helps. Cat naps, anybody? 20 to 30 minutes can improve your mood, your alertness, and your performance. Our bodies are going to get the sleep it needs, whether we plan it every Sunday afternoon or it comes unexpectedly while we're trying to do other things. Anybody nod off while driving on a long road trip? It's not good. We need our sleep, and we need a good nap from time to time. So say the preacher said so, you can take an afternoon nap. It's too hot to mow the grass anyways. When they were babies, our boys didn't sleep too much. Well, they did sleep. They just didn't sleep at the same time as each other, nor the same time as Dave and I. So one got up early and one stayed up late and slept in. And that sleeping like a baby thing wasn't really funny to me anymore. Dave used to laugh because I fell asleep with the boys each night. I'd volunteer to go put them to sleep so that I could cuddle up and sleep with them too. And I confess, I still volunteer for that job. But if you think about when a baby usually sleeps best, it's when they are safe and secure in their parents' arms, often cuddled up with their lovey or their blanket. It's when they know that they are safe, they can rest. That's the kind of sleep we need. When we really rest, it's when the worries of the world are gone, we've finished our to-do list, but we can rest in the knowledge that God's got this. Let's look back at Psalm 46 from the very beginning. It ends with, be still and know. I get the be still part. Sometimes you just got to quit. You got to say no. You got to stop. But I love the literal Hebrew translation. It says, stop and realize that I am God. I like Eugene Peterson's Message translation. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your God. Above everything else, look at me. I love where our sanctuary is situated parallel to the busy road out here. Get out of the traffic and come in here and worship. Stop busyness and know that God is God and that God created the world from chaos. It's the same God that claims you as God's own and chooses to be with you in all that you are encountering. Take a look at God. In all these things that Psalm 46 talks about, the mountains trembling, the waters roar, the river with streams. God is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear, although the earth may change. Psalm 46 is different from other psalms, not only in its structure, but in scholastic worlds, it's known as the first songs of Zion, hymns that feature the importance and meaning of Jerusalem and the whole realm of everything else. The city of Jerusalem can be related to that's where God lives. But this psalm doesn't talk about Jerusalem. It only talks about the city of God being where the people are. It's in God's presence that we can take refuge, and it's where we are that God is with us. We just need to stop and know that. Time and time again, I've been in situations where God has forced me to be still and reminds me of how powerful God is. God is an amazing God and a God that holds me and sits with me in whatever chaos is happening in my life. There was that time in 2006. Mother contracted E. coli from a spinach salad she ate while on a layover to visit my sister in Africa. It wasn't until she was on safari in Tanzania that she realized she was in renal failure. Local doctors told her to go home. She didn't need to spend her last days in their hospital. When they finally reached a larger hospital in Kenya, they were offered hope, and she spent 12 days on ICU on dialysis. I was a world away and could do nothing while the family I loved dearly suffered. I couldn't get to Africa. I tried. I couldn't get her home sooner. I tried. It didn't matter how much money we had. It couldn't happen. I couldn't get her to another hospital. I tried. We called senators. We called congressmen. We called everybody. But there was nothing that we could do. But I did something. I stopped and I sought refuge in what my mother taught me and modeled for me. I knew I was surrounded by a community of faith that believed prayer was a powerful force. And so we did just that. We prayed. I emailed friends and asked them to pray too. And soon hundreds of families and friends were praying. I could do nothing but realize the power of my God. I knew God was powerful and I knew my mama was stubborn. My mom said those days were some of the hardest of her life. I get my doing from her. And yet she was so sick she couldn't do anything but be still and know that she rested in God's hands. Some of you may have met my mom earlier this month. She's healthy and happy and a true testament of God's action in our lives when we simply trust in God. And then there was that time in August of 2008. I was home on maternity leave after having Brock, watching the news, and I knew it wasn't good when all those little red arrows came up on the ticker tape thingy at the bottom of the screen. I called Dave and said, "What's going on?" And he explained what I knew was true. It wasn't good. The stock market was crashing and there was a financial crisis spinning out of control. The world as we knew it fell apart for so many. And we were tossed into the financial storm that swept the nation. There was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing. But for me to know, my foundation was in God. And that is where my strength comes. Our God is where my hope lies. And yes, the nations were in an uproar and the kingdoms were shaken. And yet God was there amongst us, never leaving or forsaking us and reminding us yet again our eyes need to be on God. And there was that time back in January when I was so tired. Mentally and physically exhausted, my body could go no more, and I slept like a baby, knowing that God had me and I needed to be reminded that God is a safe place to hide. Not in my to-do list, not in my calendar, but in God is where I find refuge when the world gets crazy. Reminding me that all my busyness, I need to look to God. Something I was reminded on while I was on this silent retreat was the need for regular prayer. We have regular prayer on campus multiple times. Our prayer room is open all the time. If you've never been there, it's at the base of our tower. And it's gorgeous in there. You can't help but be still. It's hard to carve out time when the demands of being a minister, a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a friend, PTO president, Cub Scout leader. But I must. I have to, because that stuff is not as important as my God. So during the retreat, we practiced many different prayer methods. One I enjoyed was the breath prayer, also known as the Jesus prayer or the prayer of the heart. Y'all, this is old. They've been doing it since the 6th century. Early practitioners would repeat to the rhythm of their breath the phrase, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In time, they shortened it to Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy, or even as simply as Jesus, mercy. This simple prayer reminded me that it is in our breathing that we must do, that we must pray without ceasing. It's intended to be a very short prayer of praise or petition, no more than 6 to 8 syllables. And the words of the prayer can easily be adjusted to what you're feeling on your heart. So I'm going to make you try it. Let's try it. Settle yourself, put your feet on the floor, hands on your lap, and breathe. Breathe in and focus on the words, be still. Breathe out and focus on the words, and know. Slowly, deeply. Be still. And know. Amen. I invite you to do this longer as you find time in your day. You can do it with your eyes open. You can do it with your eyes closed. You can make up whatever words you want. Or just be still and know. Breathe in, breathe out. Know. Be still and know that the God who created you, redeemed you, sustains you all the days of your life. God is our refuge and strength, protecting us and sitting with us in the city of God. Because we are not alone, God is with us. So when you go, remember that you know your God is with you wherever you go. Our closing hymn reminds us God understands the burdens that we bear. God accepts what we have to offer, and God is with us. Please know this. Know this. Amen.